7:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We're giving out shovels at 7:15. But for right now, the college football playoff rankings have come out. Now, let me explain to you, some of you again, and this is one of those things you don't get tired of repeating because you understand people don't pay as much attention to college football in this area as they do other areas. So I understand having to repeat this. When you go to the college football ranking systems, I know they say the top 12, it's a 12 playoff team, or 12 team playoffs. Does that mean the top 12 teams in the college football playoff rankings? That's not what it means. That's a big part of it. But do you understand this? Oregon and Ohio State can't be ranked 1 and 2 when it comes to the football playoffs because they're both in the same conference. The top four spots are for the top four conference champions, which means Ohio State can't be 1 through 4 when it comes to that.
Yet they list them that way.
Yeah, but because they're ranked second in the country, mm-hmm. but when the playoffs come this way, I'll give you one of the projections. Right now, the top four is Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, and Penn State. It can't be that. Three of those teams in the Big Ten. Yeah. Right? Playoff projections has Oregon, Alabama, Miami, and Colorado. How do they come by? Because the person who did that, Eric Smith from USA Today, is projecting those to be the conference champions. He's saying he thinks Oregon wins the Big Ten, Alabama wins the SEC, Miami the ACC, Colorado the Big 12. Mm-hmm. He has Ohio State as the number 5 team. Therefore, those top 4 teams would get playoffs. Now, based on his projections, Ed, how would you like this? For the first time ever in the college football bowl division, they're going to be home playoff games. Boise State, number 12, going to 5, Ohio State. Again, this is based on Eric Smith from USA Today. Number 12, Boise State going into number 5, Ohio State. Number 11, Indiana going to number 6, Mississippi. Mm. This is a good one. Number 10, Notre Dame going to number 7, Georgia. Here's another barn burner. Number 9, Penn State going to number 8, Texas. I love those.
I do too. And I think just the one that stuck out to me, Ole Miss, Indiana.
Yeah.
I think Indiana's going to be in for a rude awakening.
When they get to that level?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the one. Now,
because they haven't really beaten it. It's not their fault. You beat who's on your schedule.
Yeah, but they haven't.
They really haven't beaten anybody.
The winner of the Texas-Penn State game will play Oregon. Oh, the winner of the Georgia-Notre Dame game will play Alabama. You have Georgia-Alabama again.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of the Mississippi-Indiana game will play Miami. I think mm-hmm. Miami will be for a rude awakening with either one of those.
Yeah, games. Me too.
And the winner of the Colorado, the winner of the Ohio State, Boise State game will play Colorado. Ohio State, Colorado.
I mean, again, you're going to have a conference champion that's going to get walloped.
The boat race?
Yeah, I think so.
So, this is the top 25. No local teams in it naturally. Maryland's not getting it done. South Carolina's number 18. Clemson's number 17. Any discrepancies about this top 25 of the college football playoffs, Ed?
No, and I'm glad you broke it down that way because I think they should list it that way. Because if a fan is looking, as we talk about this topic, and you go to ESPN.com, it has the AP Top 25. Fine. You've always had that. You said the coaches poll. But now the first one listed is, it says college football playoff rankings.
Yeah.
So you got to forgive people for not knowing how it works out because this is the way it's written.
And that's why I said this is one of those things that I don't get tired of repeating every week. I get
it. Because the top 5 teams, 4 of them are in the Big Ten. Like
Big Ten's having a good year.
Yeah, having a really good year. I mean, Texas is a sandwich in the middle, but I mean, everybody else is a Big Ten team. Obviously, they can't all play each other right away. So,
410-583-1057 is the number. I think BYU. If you look at Eric Smith's projections, BYU is out, and I think that's like maybe a trap. You always the great thing about this is you're going to have some teams that are snubbed. You just do. You're going to have that. I don't like it, but you can't expand it to the NCAA basketball to a round of 64, a field of 64. you got to have this thing narrowed down. I think 12 teams. Do you like 12 teams? Would you want more or less?
I think 12 is good. Because you have 12, number 13 is going to be pissed. You have 16, 17 is going to be pissed. You can go on and on. You say you have 68 teams in the basketball tournament. Somebody's always mad.
Yeah.
I mean, 68 teams. So I think this is fine. But this is a lot harder to navigate. You can't put them all in one stadium and play we have regions. There's a lot of games take place in regions around the country. Right. In basketball, you can't do that here. So I don't think it's – I think it's good. I'm glad they expanded it. I hated the old system where it was just – an opinion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Joe, do you like the 12 or you want more or less?
I like the 12, but I have to admit I was confused on who would play, how that would work out, because right. There's been a lot of talk about how we'll talk about it later coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Excuse me, 8 o'clock hour. But Paul Feinbaum from ESPN said, whoever the winning, getting the SEC championship actually isn't good for your playoff hopes. Because then you're put in a position, if you lose that game, then you could be completely knocked out of the top 12.
Three losses, yeah.
Exactly. But with that said, so Indiana, number 5, plays Ohio State this weekend. Mm-hmm. And during the show last night, the ranking show on ESPN, a lot of the guys in there are saying that Indiana should just punt on the game, bench their quarterback to make sure that he doesn't get hurt in a game that is essentially meaningless. Because even if they lose Ohio State, they're not getting knocked out of the top 12. But if you lose your quarterback, there's no way that you're going to go anywhere in the playoffs.
Here's the thing. Okay, if you want to have that kind of thinking, yeah. That's great. But don't you want to play for the Big Ten championship?
Joey Galloway, by the way, was the main person that said that.
Don't you want to play for the Big Ten championship? You know what school Joey Galloway went to, don't you? Ohio State.
It's a good point. I'm just he had
Ohio State.
He had Reese Davis agree with him. He had a bunch of people who was like, "Oh, that's actually not a bad idea."
Are we saying it puts him out of the? Is it going to put him out of the Big Ten championship game?
I'm saying that they're not going to win the Big Ten anyway. I'm saying that Indiana's not going to work. They're not going to be one of the top 4 anyway.
They would be if they win the Big Ten.
They're saying that they're not going to beat
because of Oregon.
So there's no point. Okay. Whether they beat Ohio State or not, they're not going
to beat Oregon. Okay.
They're not.
I'm not wired that way.
Quarterback? Yeah, I know.
They brought up
to wave the white flag, said, "We're not going to win this game anyway." Yeah. I'm not wired that way.
The actual quote was about, we've seen what happened to Florida State last year with Jordan Travis.
Okay. So. Here's my.
Now that's an interesting point.
Well, here's my pushback, though, Ed.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to punt on that game because you would have to agree with Joey Galloway in saying we're not going to beat Oregon, right?
Yes.
So if you don't think you can beat Oregon, then how the hell do you think you can win a national championship? Why are you punting for the playoffs when you already agreed you can't beat the number one team in the playoff rankings? Mm-hmm. So no, I don't like that line of thinking. Well, what are we doing? You have to believe that you can beat Oregon, because if you can't beat Oregon, then you can't win a national championship. Because either you're going to beat Oregon or somebody else who beats Oregon. I don't like the thinking.
I don't like the thinking. I hate to even think of them, sitting people.
They're punching.
Yeah.
Joey Galloway went to Ohio State. Shut up.
Yeah, but I get the Florida State comparison because I think I hate saying this because people know I'm a fan of the team, but I still think they're treated unfairly. You win your conference, you're 13-1,
and they've been boat races. That guy got hurt.
Yeah,
because that was the team.
However, I just think it's unfair when the team went 13-1. They win the ACC. We can't have you because you don't have a quarter. Your quarterback's hurt, so it's like I don't know how fair that is.
The committee has the right to knock you out because of injury. The committee said, if you don't have this quarterback, you're crap.
Yep.
Since they lost their quarterback, they've been crap.
They're terrible.
So I think the committee got that one right. Cordell Woodland joins us at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, Ed Norris, you got a shovel?
I do. It is for, I don't know how to put this, scumbags or inconsiderate people. It's one or the other, but we'll let you decide when I say it.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057. The Fan. Shovel's next.
The biggest idiots deserve the big, bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota. And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel?
Incredibly inconsiderate people. And I don't know why it's just really bothering me now. It's just, the last couple of days, I've just encountered some, like, just colossal douchebag behavior. And I just, I can't even wrap my mind around how people are okay with this. And I don't mean the people who don't get outraged and don't say anything. The people that do it, like, give me just a couple examples. This morning I opened the show, driving to work, I noticed someone dropped one of those Lime scooters right in the middle of Calvert Street.
Yeah.
As you're approaching the courthouses. Someone's going to run into them and destroy their car. Or they're going to swerve to avoid it and hit somebody else or something like that. So, and that was done intentionally. But it's even the little things. Like, I was just in North Carolina, and my son and I, we went to have lunch and went shopping and stuff in this little, really beautiful outdoor, upscale shopping area. It was packed because they had, like, you know, vendors were there in tents besides the high, all the high-end stores were there, like Lululemon and Nike and Faraday. All these high-end, fancy-ass stores were there, and they had a singer, and it was beautiful, beautiful day. So it was packed. People are trying to leave, and we can't get out of the parking lot. I cannot get out. I just sat there in a line, and it became gridlock because you didn't expect it. You make a left turn to get into the exit lane, and it's not going anywhere, so nobody could move. Finally, like probably a good 8 minutes, maybe 10. It was a long time for us to sit. We just sat there, And I see a car up ahead, not moving. And I was fine with it because sometimes, because I remember making this mistake years ago. I got annoyed at going to a restaurant. Someone was tying up traffic, holding the car at the door and put blinkers on, and people were honking, and I didn't, but people were banging on the horns. Turns out they were getting out like a mother, grandmother who was needed a cane. She was elderly and not in good health. That's why they did it. Uh-uh. When the traffic finally cleared and I get around this white Lexus, I look in the window, see what's going on. Like, and in the passenger seat, after holding up traffic forever, people are furious and making it a very tight space for cars to get through and nobody could go anywhere. Just a woman banging on the phone. She's in the passenger seat. So the driver got out, left the car there. She's sitting there just playing on the phone, and nobody could go anywhere. Like, kind of a, how douchey are you people? Like, do you think you live in the world alone? Like, it just, stuff like that drives me berserk. And if so, you know, and you know what happened, like, this is private, Rob, this was a city street, but if, you know, if the Raleigh police came by and gave her a ticket for double parking or whatever, he'd be the biggest scumbag on earth. He'd be MFing the cop, and like, you know, maybe it's you. Maybe you should behave better. And I just, for the life of me, I don't know what really, you know, burns your ass, but stuff like that just sets me off like a rocket. Like, because I don't think that way. And I go out of my way to be polite and considerate to people, believe it or not. And I just cannot believe people do that. And it's just, I had to say it.
Well, my shovel is akin to yours. Inconsiderate people. Last night I went out, retired early because I wasn't feeling well. But the restaurant that I was at, it was Taco Tuesday. Mm-hmm. There was a kid who was shouting the entire time. The entire time. Now, I understand some people say, well, they have to learn how to act or behave in public eventually. Yes, but not in a restaurant while everyone is enjoying or trying to enjoy their dinner. And the
yes.
people that sit in your
paying
area
for the food.
The people that sit in your area can't hear their own conversation. People are leaving with frustration on their faces because the kid never stopped the entire time. I don't know if the kid had issues, and I can identify with that because when Robbie Ed was about 5-6 years old, I believe that's when he was going through that. I told you, he wasn't always that kid that looked like he was on a spectrum. And I think as his body started changing, I think he was fighting it off. And he acted out. Well, we just didn't keep him out in public a lot and around a lot of other people who he would distract. And that's why I'm not saying it, try to be an asshole to this. You have to be considerate of people around you. like you said, they're paying for their dinner. They're coming for atmosphere. They're coming for aviance. And that's not the time or place to teach your child how to behave in public.
Yeah, and I don't see any teaching going on when that's happening either.
No, you ignore
them. I just see
them
ignoring them.
They were.
Yeah.
They were ignoring them the entire time. And yet people around them had to deal with that. That's not okay. That's just not okay.
You know, and there are ways to deal with it. Sometimes you just got to, sadly, you got to separate him from the other people because it's not right. It's really inconsiderate. I was lucky. For the most part, my son was a really good kid. I enjoyed his childhood years. He was not a pain in the ass. But he's a kid. And we were in, I think we were in Towson, I think, or Columbia, one of the malls around here. And he threw a tantrum. He was really little. And he's just, you know, as little kids do, he starts screaming and crying. He cannot console him, can't stop it. And people are staring and looking. It's like, finally, I just picked him, threw him over my shoulder, and we left.
Did he leave?
I threw him on my shoulder like a mailbag, and we get out of the mall. I'm like, that's it. I'm not doing this.
Right.
I'm not doing this. I'm not going to, you know, just stand here and have people watch me like I'm some kind of idiot parent.
Robert in Northwest Baltimore. What's up, Robert?
My shovel goes to Will Smith, Democrat. County.
Will Smith who?
Sir?
He's a Will Smith what?
And he's a Democrat in Montgomery County.
Okay.
In 2002, he said, just give us two more years and you'll see the fruit that the laws we pass will bear. And I wonder what you guys think about this juvenile justice laws that he was talking about.
Oof. Yeah. Yeah, they were terrible.
Yeah, give another shovel.
They bore fruit. Carjackers are through the roof. Yeah. And with Rom, you're getting carjacked now by 13-year-olds who are very dangerous.
And you can't do anything to them.
They can't do anything to them. So you wonder why they keep doing it.
Can't do anything to them. Even though it's all stupid. They know.
Of course they know.
They read just like you read. Cordell Woodland joins us at 8 o'clock. We're on the other side. Burns, Santander, both declined their qualifying offers, no surprise, along with guys like Soto, Bregman, Max Fried. Does it seem like the qualifying offer is just a formality at this point? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. The qualifying offer in baseball, I think the only time it's worked in the Orioles' favor was, what, Matt Wieters? He may have signed the qualifying offer for the Baltimore Orioles, but for the most part, it does not really... You know, why do it?
Why would you?
I mean, if you're a Major League Baseball player and you know you're a top-notch free agent, why would you do it? Now, Martinez did accept the qualifying offer, but I don't think Nick Martinez, I don't think he's really going to get a $50 million offer out there. Willie Adames turned it down. Pete Alonso turned it down. Alex Bregman. Goes to Corbin Burns. We know about that, along with Santander, Max Fried. These guys turned it down. I don't blame them because I'm going to get a deal better than this. So why do it? Now, is it just formality? I think it's more than formality, Ed, because it offers an opportunity for a team like the Orioles to get a draft pick in exchange for losing guys who will be key free agents.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But I do not see guys sign those things ever. And it seemed, and again, to your point, like, why would you? I mean, why would you? Unless there was some compelling reason for you, you know, to do so. I don't want to test the waters and see what's going on. Even with, you know, with Tony, it's like, you know, obviously we all want him here. However, like, if he ends up going to the Yankees, I mean, none of us are going to be happy. He might be.
He's going to get more than, what's it, $21.05 million is the offer. You're going to get more than that. Nick Martinez, I don't think, is going to get more than $21 million next year, Joe. So why not take the $21 million of the qualifying offer, get you one more show year? I think the same thing at the time. It may have been about $17 million back when Wieters signed with the Orioles.
It was 15.3. Yeah, that was 2015.
So at that time, I don't think Matt Wieters coming off that year. That was the year where he had off of Tommy John surgery, right?
Yeah, he had Tommy John surgery in 2014, then came back in 15 and only played 75 games.
So why wouldn't you take the qualifying offer?
It also helps the player because you can only be given a qualifying offer once in your career. So then in the future, that helps you. Like Blake Snell. Yeah, Snell, that's why he has the opportunity he has this year to make a lot of money because he can't be extended a qualifying offer.
I think the qualifying offer in baseball is better than the franchise in football.
Well, it is, because you can be franchised more than once.
Not only that, but when you're franchised, you can't fight against it, really.
You're right, yes.
Qualifying offer, you can't turn down a franchise.
No, you can't. You can't.
I'm franchised. Okay, well, you know, I'm stuck unless my they let my
franchise you next year, too. How about that?
Exactly. Yeah. Baseball will offer you a guarantee this year, $21 million plus is what we're offering you. You can turn it down or not, and if you turn it down, I'll get a free agent. Or I'll get a draft pick if you sign a contract worth more than $50 million. That works for everybody.
Yeah.
I hope they never mess with that system. Why would you, just like you said, Ed, why would you sign? You would sign if you're Nick Martinez. If you're a guy that knows you're not, or you doubt or suspect that you won't get that kind of deal in free agency. So what you do is, let me stay here for one more year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I play my way into that. But right now, I'm not worth that. Right now, I'm 33 years old, 34, be 34. I haven't made that kind of money in baseball as it stands. I made a grand total of $32 million in baseball.
Right.
That's how much I made. This past year, 2024, I made $14 million. Why not take that?
Well, why not? That's right. Why wouldn't you take it?
And he was smart because I think there was a mutual option, a player option, on his deal for 2025 of $12 million.
Mm.
He opted out, became a free agent. Then they gave him a qualifying offer. Now he's going to make $21 million. Cha-ching!
Yeah, that's quite the difference.
He gained $9 million.
Yeah.
So for him, I get it. For Santander, who's going to be one of the top free agents in all of baseball, you could argue that who's the top pitching free agent? Is that Corbin Burns, you think?
I would think so.
Well, why am I signing for $21 million? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
I hope baseball never messes with that. Stay the course. It works for some. In some cases, it works for the players, Nick Martinez. In other cases, it works for the organization. You know good and well, if you give Mike Elias, Sigma Dell, E. Rosemont, you give them two more draft picks, they're going to flip it. You know it. That's just because that's how they're made. That's how they're wired. What's up, Joe?
It'd be picks 33 and 34.
Come on, man.
And that's in between the first and second round, so it's not like in the NFL where it just rolls right over. You've got, it's like a round in between.
You know what they do? You know what they did with those picks before?
They've definitely had some success.
His name is Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah.
His name is Gunnar Henderson. Yeah, come on, man. You're giving them two picks in between the first and second round extra. It worked. Who knows? Those guys may end up being Hall of Famers one day. Along with the guys you just lost. Let's go to Rosedale. Antonio. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. How will the Orioles' new ownership influence their offseason moves? Have a wonderful day, guys.
You too. Ed, you know all about that upper management stuff. You know the team hasn't spent a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You can read the room, too. Based on what you're reading with this new ownership, how do you think they will influence what the Orioles do in the offseason?
I think they're going to spend more money than we used to. And that's the impression I got talking when Elias came on last week. He didn't say that.
But he said that.
He said that. Yeah, he kind of said that. So I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with the new owner and how it influences what they do this offseason. So I haven't given up on Burns and Santander. They may not stay here. I mean, the odds are likely they'll go. I guess everybody assumes Soto's gone from the Yankees. Seems like that's the way it goes. You just lose guys. But I haven't given up on keeping one of them. So we'll see. And I think they're going to pick up some, front of rotation pitching. I think there's going to be some moves.
As you age, you look at the world differently. Your sense of urgency changes. When you have an owner that says, I'm 70 plus years old. I didn't get into this for the long haul. I want to win now. How do you view that?
I view he's going to spend some money. Is how I view that. I get it. I hate to be morbid, but what he's saying is, I don't have that many more years on this earth. There's certainly that many good ones.
I guess that's what I'm asking. Translate that for us.
Yeah, and say I don't have that many good years here. And I get it. You hit a certain age, and I'm obviously younger than him, but I still think, would I have like 20 good years left? Like, not a lot. So you start making different plans.
Yeah.
You start thinking different ways. Do I want to keep doing this? Do I want to do that? Do I want to move to an easier state to live in? It's a lot of it. In his case, I bought this team. I don't need the money. So I'd like to bring them a World Series. That's what I mean, why? Think about it. The guy is stupid rich. And so is Cohen from the Mets. I think Cohen's the richest manager in baseball, a manager, owner. Do you think they're doing this to make money? I don't think so. I think guy, but Shotty's a fan. The fans of the teams they own now. So, I mean, I think they want to win.
Some guys get disposable income. They buy boats. Some buy teams.
Yes, right. I buy shirts because that's what I got. That's all I can afford. But I can't buy a team or a boat.
But I'm with you
yeah,
on, the,
I get it.
On the age. You know, I think about that. I'm 53 years old. What am I going to do for the next 53 years?
Yeah. You want to be like, you want to be like Woody Allen. He said, I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. I want to achieve immortality by not dying.
Let's go to Kevin in Kingsville. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, man.
Funny you guys say that, because I had a buddy of mine. He passed away, and he used to always say, hey, man, my runway ain't getting no longer. You know?
So, yeah,
I like that.
Yep.
Hey, I don't know, you know, from the stand. One, I do like the qualifying offer compared to the tag in football, because you give guys an example. You get guys a better chance to hit free agency, make a big payday because their window's not that long.
And so, think about this. You give guys who may not make a lot of money again, and Nick Martinez, a chance to almost double his salary.
Exactly. And real quick, I don't know if this is possible with, you know, what y'all were saying about his age, you know, Rubenstein and everything and how bad he wanted to win. But in theory, could there be a possibility where you bring back Burns, Santander, and add a Bregman? Now, you know,
well, real quick before you hang up, Kevin, there are reports, national reports, that say the Dodgers and the Orioles are the leaders to sign Burns.
I saw that.
I use that to answer your question. I don't think the Orioles consider themselves to be out of the Burns market,
which makes you really happy, because I think any year prior, you'd assume he's gone and he'd be gone.
Yeah,
wouldn't even be a question about it.
I don't think they're out of it.
That's why I say I'm optimistic they may keep one of these guys. So yeah, and frankly, I'd rather have Burns. Harder to find.
Cordell Woodland joins us at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, the latest news on the circus of the New York Jets. You ready for this, Ed?
Oh, I am.
I got some tissues for you over here.
Oh, I don't need them.
Baltimore's big.
Just for laughter.
Big Bad Morning Show, The Fan. 7:48 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. So the Jets are a crap show. They are exactly that. Aaron Rodgers has not been what they wanted him to be. Let me just read to you some things that has happened according to Diana Rossini with the New York Jets organization, as Ed has to bear through this. Who did Jets kill, Ed?
Call.
The kid. All right. Woodie Johnson unilaterally,
a little bit, according to Larry David,
unilaterally fired Robert Saleh on October the 8th without consulting anyone. Then Johnson nixed a Douglas trade. That's the GM they fired yesterday, offering Lazard and a day two pick for Jerry Jeudy. Woody Johnson's micromanagement of Douglas escalated after facing him to fire close friend Rex Hogan. Following the move, it's theorized Douglas told staffers Woody should just fire me now. Hassan Reddick held out after Johnson refused to negotiate a contract extension. Tyson Smith and Mike Williams signing were Johnson-driven. Johnson pushed for the Davante Adams trade. Rodgers likely won't return, with Johnson preferring to move on. You know the difference between Jerry Jones and Woody Johnson? Jerry Jones has won 3 Super Bowls.
So he's got some success, yes.
That's the only difference between the two.
That's a big deal. It's also more than that. Like, you think of all things that have gone on with the Jets. I mean, obviously, Joe Douglas got fired. And for people that don't know or don't remember, Joe Douglas was with the Ravens for 14, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was here for a long time, for both Super Bowls. So he's you know, Raven was where he got his start. They bring in Aaron Rodgers. It was controversial, but, you know, people are optimistic. Then you fire the coach midseason. Now you fired your GM. Allegedly, he wanted Rodgers benched after the Broncos game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, did not happen, and that may have led to the fire. I don't know what happened. But I know they just can't get out of their own way. And I remember being, some years ago, I was at Jets camp. I get an invitation by someone who knew, you know, Todd Bowles. That's how I met him. So we go to Jets camp. Check that they're building. Beautiful. So very
Todd
Jets.
Bowles, yeah, same agent.
Yes. Yeah, my agent took me there.
Yeah. But you said, take the whole picture.
Yeah. My agent took me there. Like same agent.
Like some slapdick just took you up to New York. And
yeah, the agent, they got Michael Strahan, his big contract. Yes.
There you go. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Tony takes me up there. And what was interesting to me is we were hanging out with some of the coaching staff. Like Kevin Green was a coach then, who was actually, I'm sorry he's passed, but he was such a funny guy. It was his birthday.
I met him when he was in Charlotte with the Panthers.
Really?
Awesome guy.
Awesome guy.
Awesome dude.
I watched
him. Never stops talking.
No. He was putting the out. He was the. Putting a lot of the linemen and linebackers through drill. He was knocking their helmets. He had the big pads on his arms. And as they're trying to go, he was literally punching their helmets off their heads.
Yeah.
He was nuts. But my point is, Woody Johnson was on the field at that time. Wherever he was, the coach was like, let's move. Let's move that way. Nobody wanted to be near him.
Really?
Yes. And I was like, that's odd. So I don't know what's up with that.
What was odd? The fact that he was on the field or the fact that nobody wanted to be with
him? Because nobody wanted to be near him.
When we see Steve Bisciotti down there, he's in a golf cart, not on the field. Correct, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
Talking to people.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I've never seen Steve Bisciotti on the field.
No, he was on the sidelines.
Okay, like, okay.
Not on the field. I mean, but on the sidelines where, you know, the players were and the coaches. And Bisciotti is on the golf cart. But you'll see Bisciotti chatting with people. Like every time I see him, I go over and talk. He talks to you. He's like, you know, very approachable. I get the impression Woody Johnson was not. So yeah. I don't have anything to do with this organization. Well, it does. He's the owner. I mean, they cannot seem to get it right. They just, and that, you know, the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, the Jets killed Carl. Nicks a little bit. But it's like, that's how it is being a Jets fan. And you come to expect it. And that was over. And that episode was about Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was.
So it wasn't even about, obviously not current day with all the nonsense that went on here. And you think about the talent they drafted so well. And this is what gets me kind of a little angry with the Douglas firing. I have no dog in the fight. I mean, I don't know Joe Douglas. But I do know he drafted Garrett Wilson.
Yes.
He drafted Bryce Hall.
Yes.
He drafted Sauce Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's made some really nice picks.
And it appears that based on what Diane Rossini is saying, the moves that did not work are the ones he was micromanaged from the owner.
Ah, well,
so, again, the only difference between...
Yeah.
Well, there's another difference between he and Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones admits he's the GM. Woody Johnson does not. Because he wants to be the GM.
Yeah.
Let's go to Cliff in White Marsh. What's up, Clifford?
Hey, man. Good morning to you all. I want a couple football things. I'll start with the Jets.
Whoa. Before you get on to the football things, where's the salsa?
I'll bring you some,
all
Rob.
Right, thank you. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
What am I, a potted plant? Do I not get any salsa?
I'll get you on, Ed. As a matter of fact, I think Monday I'm going to be over that way. Before 10, maybe I'll drop them off to you guys.
There you go. Thank you, sir.
Real quick, about the Jets. Years ago when they had Flacco in that locker room, the head coach, Salah, said, you know, this guy could be a starting quarterback. Well, they went with the rookie like franchises have to do, and he stunk to join up. That was the beginning of the Jets' demise right there as far as the quarterback that they drafted. He was just a dumpster fire. So they saw Flacco celebrating Cleveland the night over the Jets, and, you know, it had to go right through the general manager and the owner or whoever. And I just think that it's been a failed operation, and that everybody's going to have to go, I guess.
Yeah. And back to what you said, though, you told me as they have to put in their franchise quarterback, they don't when they're rookies. How long did Aaron Rodgers wait on the Brett Favre? And so, and Aaron Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He waited, like, what, 4 years?
Yeah, they just don't. I think 2 or 3. They just don't do that anymore, though.
But you too have much. To. You just, I know you, it's, you know, you draft these guys in the first round, they get good contracts rookies, but. A lot of them are. C.J. Stroud is an anomaly. He is. He just stepped right in. I mean, you know, I mean, you get the kid in Washington has done it, but you think about the ones that haven't. You know,
look at the more guys. Have it than do. Yeah, more don't.
More don't.
Yeah, more
look
don't.
Look at Lamar's draft class. Has anyone remember Josh Rosen?
No. I mean, Lamar didn't start till week what 10?
Because
game
right.
number 10.
That's right. So I mean, and Josh Rosen. I mean. He was drafted way higher than Lamar.
Josh Rosen was in the league. Haters. You guys hated on Josh Rosen because he had a whirlpool in his.
He was a spoiled rich kid, yes.
Yeah, that's why you guys just hate.
Pretty much.
I can imagine now I'm going to practice. What up, rich boy? I can imagine. Seriously.
Yeah.
Some listeners said recently that they wish Jim Harbaugh was the Ravens coach. Man, John is getting the blues. We'll talk about that at 8:15. But on the other side, our insider, Cordell Woodland joins us on The Fan.